friends.
Not today.
I'm an uncle. I don't have an uncle.
Uncle?
Yeah.
Uncle?
What?
Apple.
Oh, apple. I was like, uncle?
Jenny splits church at snack time.
Church is snack time, right, Jenny Mom?
Yeah.
He's like staring at you. What are you doing? He's just watering the plants. Because we have not watered the plants because we forgot.
I'm gonna get here early to clean, but
I'm so bad. I forgot the plants.
The traffic was so bad.
It's fine. It's really just barely anyone here. Is that one? I wonder why that one's more sad than the other guys.
Well, Brother Aaron said that he might have thought that just because he used like a certain type of dirt and mulch that he said that he didn't know if they were going to take too super long. Mm-hmm. And he said that one was the one he was worried the most about. But those two are doing good, and that one on the far left even has like a new growing.
Will you be playing for us?
That's all right. I think acapella is going to be easier. So, but I think we'll go ahead and start. So, good evening, everyone. Go ahead and turn your Psalms books to 169. 169. Come Thou Fount. Come Thou Fount, 169, starting on the first verse. Come Thou Fount of every blessing, turn my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, calls for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melisonet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it. Mount of Thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer. He'll turn by Thy help I'll come. And I know by Thy good pleasure safely I'll arrive at home. Jesus sought me with a stranger wandering from the fold of God. Here to rescue me from danger, interpose His precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to Thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for Thy courts above. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing those that were able to come out tonight. We just pray for those that are sick, stuck in traffic, caught at work, and we just pray for safety during the windstorm that is upon us, Lord. We just pray for all those to be safe through this night. In Jesus' name, amen. If you go ahead and join with Psalm 244. Psalm 244. Psalms 244, Amazing Grace. We'll start in verse 1.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. I was blind, but now I see. 'Tis grace that taught my heart to fear
Can grace my fears relieve? How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed? Through many dangers tore, sin snares I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no last days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Thank you all. Good singing. The verse of the week is Proverbs 31, verse 28. Proverbs 31, verse 28. Hear, children, arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Just a crown of glory upon a mother and a woman serving others. All right. Service times are 10:30, 3:30 on Sundays. Tonight, obviously, is 6:30 for our Bible study. Soul winning times will be Saturday at 12:30 and Sunday at 1 p.m. I believe we didn't have any more for Sunday, but we did have 12 salvations at the Central Washington University Soul Winning Marathon last Friday, which brings us a total of 10 for May, for a total of 81 for the year so far. All right, attendance is down below. Just give thanks for all those souls we had. The next thing to remember right now, and I know someone's already completed this, which is great, but coming up this Sunday is the cutoff to present 1 Corinthians 13. You know, we got, you know, witnesses. Hopefully Remy is better, and got a whole rest of the church to get done. Someone led by example, which is awesome, by the way. Amen. June 9th will be the homeschool day. That'll be here at the church building at 11 a.m. Please RSVP with Miss Kylie so she can plan food and games. Kids, your next brain reverse is Psalms 59, verse 17. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the glory of my mercy. That's Psalms 59, verse 17. All right, rules are down there. Tithes, I forgot to add those, but we'll have that coming up this weekend. If you have any other prayer requests, please just go ahead and add to the bulletin. And with that, let's go ahead and turn to the Lord in prayer. All right, go ahead and join me. Turn to your psalm books or to the book of Psalms, to number 11. And I think I was told we did just sing this, but my music repertoire is not as wide, so hopefully this will be okay. Say, here's another reason why to always be thankful. You know, not all of us are made for all parts of the body, but we're always thankful for those that do. And I know every time I'm up here to lead songs, we are very thankful for the musically gifted that are part of this church. So let's pray for some health and wellness for them so they can return. But with that, Psalms 11, starting there in verse 1. In the Lord put up my trust, as he moved my soul. Flee as a bird to your mountain, for the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord tried the righteous, but the wicked, and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. His soul hateth upon the wicked. He shall round in snares, fire and brimstone and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. In the Lord put I my trust. All right. With that, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that we have. And while people are going through hard times, let us always remember, Lord, it is up to our duty to take care of the brothers and sisters of this church and the brothers and sisters in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening, everybody. If you could take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 will be our text this evening. And as always, here at our church, we read the entire chapter before the preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible reads, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for this church, Lord. And I pray, God, that as Brother Paul comes up to preach, you'll fill him with your Holy Spirit. And I pray, God, that you'll give us all ears to hear tonight. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Amen. All right. So we're here in 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. And I think right here it kind of gives an explanation. Because I think, you know, you've probably wondered this. You hear this a lot. You hear apologetics, you hear people that hate Christianity bring this up a lot. They just say, you know, there's like 10,000 Christian denominations. There's just so many. Like, I mean, why is that? Why is there just so many? I mean, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of them. And I'm here to tell you, yes, but there's going to be plus one more. And there always will be. There will always be in yet one more. And here we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, And brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes of Christ. So Paul is coming to the Corinthians and saying, hey, I can't even speak unto spiritual things for you because you are so carnal. You're so fleshly. You're not focusing on the things above. You're focusing on your flesh and what you want. And how is this coming up? He's like, hey, I have fed you with the milk and not with meat. For hereunto you could not bear it. Neither are you able to now. For ye are carnal. For whereas there are among you envying, striving, divisions, and carnal, and you walk as men. Now he's just saying, hey, I can't speak of spiritual things. And let me tell you, before, I've been just trying to give you the milk. Just the milk. I'm taking the word of God. And I am just giving you, you know, John 3:16. I'm just trying to like, hey, you need to believe. Hey, you know what? John 1:1 literally says, you know, Christ is the word of God. So I'm just trying to get you a few verses in you. And you're here trying to figure out how dispensational works. You're trying to figure out the end times. You're trying to figure out, you know, the hypostatic union and the Christophanies and all this. Like, hey, how about you get saved first? How about I give you the milk word? And you know what's happening here? He just says, hey, in verse 4 it says, while one say, I am a Paul, and another say, I am Paulus, are you not carnal? We haven't even left the first century. We haven't left the first decade of the Christian church. We already got multiple denominations following here. And what he's saying is, hey, you know how you're starting a little different denominations? Hey, there's plus one. There's one more. There's one that's actually following the word of God. He's saying, you carnal fools. You know what? I planted, Apollos watered, God gets the increase. You know how we know that? Because the law told us. God, Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. You know what he said? The law was here. It was going to stay. He was always going to have his word here. And Paul's just like, what are you doing? Don't start studying the works of Apollos and be like, this is it. Don't just study the works I've written and be like, well, this is what we're... Because you know what? People do that now. There are Pauline churches.
Yeah.
How insane is that?
Paul
literally rebukes it in, like, I only believe in what Paul wrote. Paul says you're an idiot.
Yeah, amen.
So there had to be at least one more denomination than what you're doing. There had to be at least one more coming out of there because he's like, what are you doing? And he just literally says, if you skip down to verse 10, it says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me by a witness, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundations, and another builder there, but let everyone take heed until ye bear unto. For of their foundations can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And what he's saying is here, I don't care what man follows, and that includes Paul speaking of himself. If you try to have any other foundation of the religion I am teaching you other than Jesus Christ, you have fallen away. But here's two examples. But we really need to focus on Apollos. Now, this denomination died. Because I don't think anyone out there says they have the writings of Apollos. Maybe there's a Gnostic gospel out there on that. But I'm saying that's not a big movement. But there are a lot of people that say, well, I'm a Paulian. Yeah. Literally, you can't, like, I'm always amazed when people reject the words of Christ. But there are people that literally say, I only believe in Paul. And Paul says, you are wrong. Your denomination is stupid and you're on way to hell. How dare you ruin the foundation I set for you, which is of Christ. Verse 18, it says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may become wise. Let me tell you, Paul was probably very well spoken. Paulus was very well spoken. You know, there are very good people that can speak. But he says, if that's what you're following, and they're just selling you the wisdom of this world, they are a fool. And that is not the foundation Christ set. How about they become a fool so that they can follow God? For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in his own craftiness. He's like, hey, don't follow the world. Hey, people can be wise. They can be crafty. They can do it for a personal gain. They can do it to deceive. They can do it for wealth. They may do it for a lot of things. But let me tell you this. If you have any other foundation than Christ, you are wrong. That is a denomination you don't want to follow. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, and they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. He's saying this. Let me explain this. No matter how wise you think someone is, how great a person is, it is vain and it is meaningless. It is God you hold to. It is God you should give honor to. Do not glory in men. Well, how do we have but we have priests. I mean, the book was, the Bible was written by men. You know, we have pastors, they have prophets, they have teachers, they're men. How do you distinguish the two? Well, who's God? Who is Jesus? And I've already said this, he's the Word of God. But go ahead and turn to Mark 4, let's just see, if we are in that denomination God wants us to be in, what will we be doing? What will we be doing if we were in that right denomination? Because I already showed you a couple different denominations. We're going to go through many different denominations tonight as quickly as possible. But here's one, Mark 4, verse 14. Here's what that plus one denomination, that one who people fall away, they fall away from the Word of God. But what should the one denomination go towards God? What would they be doing? In Mark 4 and verse 14, it says, the sower soweth the word. And these are thy by the wayside, and the words are shown. So here's what I think God wants you to do. Go sow the word. Now, if you believe the word is the physical body of Christ, I don't know how you comprehend this. Because what it's saying is, go sow the words of God. Because God literally says in the Old Testament, it's called the law a lot of times. It's literally the words. The longest Old Testament book in the Bible is Psalms 119. It's literally about word. I love thy scripture. I love thy words. I keep and meditate on your precepts, Lord. It's what you told us to do. This is what we're supposed to do. And the way people fall away, how are more denominations made? How are people that fall away from church gone? It says in verse 16, and these likewise which are sown on stony soil, who when they are have the word of God, immediately received it with gladness and have no root in themselves. So they endureth but for a time afterwards, when the afflictions and persecutions arises for the word's sake, they immediately are offended. And here's every liberal church that has ever existed. Hey, do some of them, they'll literally, hey, if you have a private conversation in a closed room and nobody can see them, they love God. But if it offends someone in this world, they're offended. They're like, hey, God's greater than I, let him fight that battle. And they'll use logic, they'll use this, but hey, here's going to be a, and I don't care which denomination you are, every denomination has their liberal side, they all have their, right, conservative, fundamental side of whatever belief. Hey, this is explaining. People hear the words like, oh man, that's so good, that's so good. They're like, well, you want to stand on the word of God? You're like, ooh, in spirit, I'll be a prayer warrior. So there's many denominations break off right there. And it says, and these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and their cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, is the lust of other things, enter in and choke the word and become unfruitful. Hey, this is everyone who, like, I mean, hey, how many thousands of people probably go to Bible college and they say, you know what, I want to serve the Lord. And then they get out in whatever denomination. Hey, sometimes they spend years trying to beg churches to give them $15 a month to go out. And they do this. And they work for years and years and years. And they realize, man, I ain't making enough. You know, if I'm not going to go against the Word of God. But there's a bit I could cut out and not focus on. And I bet that would probably help me. And help, I mean, and isn't it? More people in church, the better the body of Christ is, right? Huh? I mean, how many denominations you're going to get through? How many ideas are you going to get through? And here's the thing is, man's wisdom, who knows what they think is important to God and not important to this world? And you're going to get a lot of different churches that focus on a lot of different things. But guess what? It's going to take a lot for someone that says, I don't care the cost, I don't care the reproach, I don't care how many people are offended, I'm going to stand on the words of God, which is Jesus. So there's all these denominations, all these breaking off, people softening on this, focusing on this, but I'm telling you, there's probably always a plus one denomination out there that says, you know what, despite traditions, despite the wisdom of men, hey, if it goes against the Word of God, it's not allowed by the Word of God, or I think it's against the Word of God, I'm just going to change. I don't care what was passed down if it was broken there. Now, here's the thing is, why would anyone think the Word of God is important? Why, like, people call fundamental Baptist, Bible believers, biblical Christianity, crazy. Because they're like, you just, I mean, whatever this says, that's what you're going to go for? Well, here's the thing is, if you actually read, I think it'd be hard not to have this view because, hey, I'm going to go through some of these verses. You can try to follow me, but I'm going to move very quickly. What did Jesus do with the Word of God? How did he, when he was in his flesh, how did he decide you should rebuke people, correct people, guide people? Well, in Matthew 22, verse 31, it says, but as touching as the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read which was spoken of God, saying. What's interesting is when he goes up against the Sadducees, who actually at the time were held probably at higher esteem than the Pharisees because they held the temple. And we all know how important the temple was to the people that sat in the Mosaic seat at the time. But you know what was interesting? Because here's the thing is, you're like, well, Christianity has all these denominations. We literally hear about multiple denominations of the Jews at the time. You have the Pharisees, you have the Sadducees, and actually there was a couple others, not really mentioned in the Bible, but historically they say they were. But let me tell you this. They're like, no, they were just Jewish. One believed you had an afterlife and one did not. Are you telling me that's the same religion? No, they were a national group hoping for their tribal salvation. They want a political leader to lead them into war for the nation, right, not of God. And even though Jesus said, hey, they sit in Moses' seat, you follow them while they're here, God removed that as a nation. Yeah. And he said, as a religion, as a denomination, there was multiple there. And you know what? Christ said, why don't I use the words of God to correct you? The laws that you were supposed to keep. And here's the thing is, I actually believe God inspired this religion, which had fallen away. Christ corrects them multiple times. You're not keeping the law. But you know what? I do believe they kept it perfectly in written. They worked themselves to pass it on. So the words of God were always there to always shame the people that were there. The words of God had not fallen away. Not one jot, not one tittle would fall away until the Lord come. And by goodness, he says, I am rebuking you because you are not following the words of God. I mean, lawyer, are you not a master of Israel and I have to teach you these things? Like, he rebukes them constantly about this. In Mark 12, verse 10, it says, have you not read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. He's saying, do you not know what I'm talking about? In Luke 6, verse 3, it says, and Jesus answered them saying, have you not read so much as this? What David did when himself was a hunger and they which were with him. And they're saying, you worked on the Sabbath. He's literally healing people. He's literally helping people. He's literally being a blessing in the neighborhood. It's like, we got to kill him. He did
did something on the Sabbath. He's like, have you not read the words that I told you? And I am the word that has come down and made flesh. And let me tell you this, you have not kept it. Yet it is physically there. The words were in front of them, but it had not entered into here. Because you know what? The denominations of the Jews at the time had gone away. But let me tell you this, for all times, you know what? In the wilderness right then, there was a plus one. There was a plus one denomination out in the wilderness with John the Baptist out there saying, have you vipers come before the time? It was amazingly that people heard these crazy words. It's just saying, wow, it doesn't matter if you're the sons of Abraham. God can make these stones the children of Abraham. You need to repent and to believe on that would you come.
That's right.
And here he is, the word of God. So there was a plus one denomination out there that followed God. In Matthew 19, verse 4, it says, and he answered and said unto them, have you not read that which was made them at the beginning, made them male and female? I mean, this is a controversial topic at this point, but what he's saying is here. It's like, hey, you know how you justified, you justified things I didn't? From the beginning, it was man and woman together married.
That's right.
And he's just saying, here are the people that sit in Moses' seat. They are the Jews. As a hierarchy, they sit in God's temple, right? Well, guess what? God says, there needs to be another denomination out there because these people have gone astray. Go ahead and turn to John 1. John 1. And I know we believe this, but let's just go over the simple thing. John 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. When we say we want to be enlightened, when we want to see the light of God, we are talking about we want to see the words of God. And God gave you his word. He gave it to you, and guess what? It literally says the words of God were manifest into flesh. And let me tell you, I'm going to be moving fast. If you somehow do not know that the word of God is a name for Jesus, look, we'll put the milk down, we'll get the formula, and we'll try to feed you because you are nowhere near to me. If you're talking about like, let me talk to you about church history, and let me talk to you about the theological debates of the first century prophets, hey, how about we get, you know, the sippy cup, and you just try to get there because you cannot handle the meat. You are not there. Go down to verse 10, and it says, he was the world in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So God came down to his own, and they didn't receive him. You're like, well, that's what are you going with? You know what's interesting? It makes me think of multiple denominations that before. I mean, let's just say you took your people and God comes and does multiple curses, multiple blessings, moves you out into a field, splits an ocean in front of you, walks you across and feeds you in the desert. How long are you going to stay on God's plan without the words of God? Not even 40 days. I mean, you want to hear a denomination? How about the Aaronic priesthood making a golden calf and worshiping the gods of Egypt? Well, you know what? Moses was still the plus one other denomination at the time.
Right.
And let me tell you, he was not too pleased with the idolatry worship.
Amen.
And so there was yet another denomination. Well, the majority of the believers, I don't care. I don't care if you told me, well, if we took a census, do you know the majority of them were Catholic? I'm sorry, we're talking about the old time. No, I don't. Because there's still another one. They want to be the word of God. And God literally spoke to Moses face to face. And with his own hand, it says, wrote down at least the Ten Commandments. The words of God. That is what he says. And you know what he wanted you to do? To follow the words of God. That was the Old Testament. You know what the New Testament? He wants you to follow the words of God. How do you know if it's God's will? It's written by the words of God. You know how you know it's wrong? It's written by the words of God. What do I do with my life? Read the words of God. How do you get saved? By the words of God.
Yeah.
It's not hard. In verse 12 it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. How do you become a son of God? By believing on the words of God and the word of God.
Yeah.
It is both the understanding of the written law and also the manifestation of Christ and the incarnation of Christ is what we're talking about. This is literally, this is the milk of the word. If you don't even know what the words are, you can't understand the words and you can't grow thereby. In verse
13, it says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is how you're born again. It's not of a nation that existed. We're not looking for a bloodline. Guess what? A new nation will arise in the belief of Christ that had never existed before. So guess what? New denomination had to pop up somewhere that did not exist before to fill the words of God. In verse 14, and the words were made in flesh and dwelt among us. This is what Christians believe. Guess what? I didn't go through the bother, but you know what? This is what many of the church fathers also say. They had wrong ideas. People worshiped and broke away. I don't know when. I don't care when they got. Because it doesn't matter how high someone is held up. If they violate and they're not using the foundations that God built, Paul said, in the first couple decades, you have gone astray. You are carnal and you are not of the Spirit. You know what? And here's the thing. It even goes this far. How did Jesus defeat the devil? Have you not read? In Luke 4 and verse 6, it says, and the devil said unto him, all the power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for they delivered on me, whosoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, and shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God with all, and only him shalt thou serve. Yeah. It's amazing. Jesus came as an example to us was to use him to defeat the devil. And you know who he is? The Word of God.
Yep.
In Psalms 138, verse 2, it says, I will worship towards the holy temple and praise thy name for loving kindness, for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Yes. So isn't it great? Like God even says, hey, you know how you're worried and you have Gnostics and, you know, the Jews think they have the secret name of God and how precious and holy that is? And hey, guess what? God's actual name probably is precious and holy. But you know what he cares more about? How about you honor the words he actually gave you? Instead of trying to focus on secret knowledge that he did not give you, that you think some genius man was revealed some time ago that was not mentioned before, how about you focus on what he actually did give you? Because until you understand these 66 books, why are you trying to learn from other commentaries? Why are you trying to learn from the wisdom of men? Why are you being carnal and not spiritual? Because this comes up and up again. In 1 Peter 1, verse 23, says, being born again, not into corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For the flesh is as grass, and all the glory of men is like a flower of grass. And the grass withereth, and the flower therefore falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. What's interesting is the Bible, you're like, the Bible seems to be supporting the Bible. What else do you have? Is there a higher that I mean, if you can find a higher authority that I can do, you know, Jesus comes down the white horse, I will take correction, all right? But until then, he told us to follow his word and use what he said and the foundations he laid until he comes. In Matthew 5, verse 18, it says, I verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise part from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So it's amazing. God literally says, I'm giving you the law. And Jesus did not come to break the law. He came to fulfill the law. So literally from Moses pinning it down, translating it, putting it into codified law, until now, not one jot, not one tittle will go away. And this is how you are saved. This is how we know it is promised to be eternal. This is how we know Christ. This is how we have the power to become sons of God. This is what is important, the words of God. Amen. So where are all these, why are there so many denominations? Well, where did I start you? It says, because the vanity of men, because the wisdom of this world. People like tickling things that tickle their, they like words that tickle their ears, and you know, hard truths that shame you. Because let me tell you this, the Bible will cut you down. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, and boy, will it humble you when you actually read it and you believe it. Because it is going to tell you, none is righteous, no, not one. And guess what? Here's the hard thing about true Christianity. It is when the hero died for the villain, and you are the villain. You are the wickedness that is in the story of a Christian life, because you are always going to be trying to strive to be a better person, but here's the thing, you're going to come short, and you always look up to Christ knowing, I can't be as good as you, but for the love of you, I will strive to be better. That is the plus one denomination. And let me tell you this. This was true even in the back, you know, when the sin of Jeroboam came and he built two calves to make it easier to worship. Guess what? God wasn't pleased with that. He destroyed that nation because it was bad. That was another denomination. Oh, at certain times when he said, you know what? The majority of Israel, they worship Baal. They worship that. And now archaeologists, you know, we actually found an interesting thing. It looks like there were multiple gods in the ancient Israel that they worshiped. Yeah, the Bible said that. Why don't you read it? And you know what? God hated it. But you know what? Even when it was down to only 7,000, there was still that plus one. Might have not been the people in charge of Israel. Might have not been the most powerful. Might have not been the most numerous. They didn't have all the wealth and the power. They didn't sit in the king's seat. But there was a plus one denomination out there that followed God and loved him because of the words he wrote, and they held that above all other things. Not the tradition of men, not the prestige of the time, not the wealth or the power of the government at the time. They had the words of God, and that's what they held up. There was another denomination. So they keep coming. They keep coming through time. And here's the thing, is Matthew 5 and verse 19, it says, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So I just read this, it's like, man, people try to do all this. Well, let me just knock out a whole bunch of denominations that are not the denominations of God. And I have to do this because people are confused in this country in this time, despite all the worldly evidence. He is literally rebuking the Pharisees. He says, guess what? Do you know how they're the purest? They're the bronze. If there's someone following the Mosaic law, it's them. Well, you'd have to be better to get to the kingdom of heaven. What he's saying is, they are not your way to kingdom heaven. Right. Why did Paul give up his position, his power, his authority given to him by the high priest? Because God is sweeter, and that is a life worth living. He had to forsake all of that, all the traditions, all the, his nationality he forsook and went to the Gentiles. Why? Because he loved the words of God. So he was making a plus one denomination. He would have said he is a child of Abraham. He would have said he was a child of God. He says he's worshiping God. But they'd be like, yeah, well, that's a Christ follower. Well, you, hey, make a new denomination. Thank you for defining the line. Because it literally says, unless you go above what the Pharisees did. And that was when they sat in Moses' seat that God confirmed. How about after he destroyed the temple? How about after he destroyed the nation? Guess what? The rabbinical priesthood, the rabbinical Judaism, which is what we have now, is a younger religion than Christianity that hates Christ at their foundation. So I don't care if it's an Orthodox, a conservative, a reform, a reconstructionist, or a messianic Jew. They are unsaved in all those denominations and all their breakoffs and their conservative and liberal branches, the 50 denominations, you could say, all wrong because they don't hold the word of God. So you're like, well, there's quite a few. You had all the ancient denominations, Jews, and all that. Well, guess what? It literally says, you know, if you break the least of these commandments, you shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Well, we could go through a whole bunch of denominations there that do not hold that. Because it literally says in Matthew 15 and Matthew 3, it says in verse 1, it says, then came to Jesus the scribes and Pharisees, which were in Jerusalem, saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they do eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? So guess which one God cares more about? Your traditions of men or the traditions that God said do? Well, I mean, it's actually pretty interesting because most of the people that say they're true Christianity, they break God's commandments by their tradition.
Yeah.
If you say church tradition oversees the words of God,
you are a heretic and you are not saved and you are damning not just yourself, not just your congregation, and your children, your grandchildren, and you are ashamed to Christians and are ashamed to everyone. You are spitting in the face of God. Yep. Well, like who? How about the Orthodox?
Yep. Amen.
I mean, here are idolater pagan people that literally care more about their traditions than they do the Word of God. And here's the thing, we could spend all night on just this block of fools, but hey, where did the Orthodox come from? They're like, well, they're Christians, and they got a little too numerous, so the Roman pagans decided, let's just try to keep them peaceful. So they formed the early church, if you will, like in the 600s. So 600 years after, they formed. And guess what? Why? And here's the thing is, you got two groups. You got the Orthodox and the Catholics. You got a couple of denominations there. But the Catholics are like, well, we worship Rome. So we're going with the Pontiff Maximus. Now, that was the old name for the Pope. Do you know when the first Pope came into existence? 500 years BC. It was the high priest of Rome. Julius Caesar was a Pontiff Maximus because he was a high priest of Jupiter. At certain times, it was Mercury, I think, and Apollos for wisdom, or Apollos. And then, eventually, they're like, well, it's the control thing. We'll make it to the Jews' God. So, the Pope, who the Catholics hold as above the Bible and tradition, is a pagan creation. Now, the Orthodox aren't much better because they just went to Constantinople because that's where the Roman seat of power went. And then they bickered about this. But let's just say the Orthodox came first. I don't care. But here's the thing is, are your priests married with kids? No. They're like, oh, how can you handle the house of God if you can't handle your own household? Because that's literally what the Bible says. So no priest, no authority. Because actually the Bible says it's the priesthood of the believer. All that are saved are priests unto God. They'll be kings and rulers. Well, saints are the saved. Yeah. It's not, did you do enough miracles that no one could verify, you died for 100 years, and do people still care, then we'll sanctify you, and then we'll hold your words as equal to God. Yeah. And that's why there's so many contradictions. Now, I don't have the time to go through, but understand, there is a big difference between the Eastern Orthodox, the Ethiopian Orthodox, because they have breakaways. Their first breakaways happened in the 400s, the 600s, the 800s. They're all breaking away. But you're like, no, they are what the apostles handed down. Well, here's the interesting thing. I would say the Jews are verified as not the children of God because God wiped them out. You know what's interesting? I would say the Orthodox are not the true religion because literally, I believe it's the 600s, when you guys fought for orthodoxy and you kept your icons because they had this big civil war called the Iconoclast where they said, and literally the idolaters won and God made Islam and destroyed orthodoxy off the face of the earth where you were insignificant, unimportant, and no one's cared about for 1,000 years except your little churches that you have in Muslim countries where you go through until the Russians came up. And let's face it, the Russians somehow having 4 times the population of largest land mass have sucked literally the entire time they have came about. Good job, Orthodoxy. No one looks to your dark robed, wizard looking, devil worshiping people and your icons and go, wow, there's the light of the world.
Right.
You've been in the Muslim countries for 1,000 years. What you been doing? Oh, that's right. Dying off and having no significance. Great job. You've kept those 1,000-year-old buildings up. Good job. So yeah, you break the least of commands, God throws you out. Well, you know, the Catholics, you know, they're the largest. They have the same problems plus more. So why are the Catholics and Orthodox broke away? And here, if you just know, the Orthodox is not one denomination, by the way. They have like 30 recognized ones because certain churches broke away. They don't like certain saints. They literally have breakaways that don't view God as the same person. They break it all away. They have different views of the Trinity throughout the church. It's not one unified thing. How are they unified? They all get to go to heaven wearing the same clothes. Good job. But they're not unified in theology. They have many different denominations. They have independent Orthodox churches around the world that do not recognize Constantinople or any of the patriarchs. And we don't have time to go deep into that. Well, what about Rome? Why did they break away? They broke away for many different things, but here's the thing. Rome was insignificant. It was the poor, least educated part of the old world. Because when the Romans moved their capital east, that's where the wealth and power was until Islam destroyed it. But then after Islam basically destroys half of the church, as they call it, the Catholic, you know, the Pope was like, well, I could be in power. And he made himself the head of the church. And all the old patriarchs are like, what are you doing? But here's the thing, though, is that by that point, they'd had saints that have changed their theology. One of the people they did, like Orthodox and all those branch of Christians don't recognize is Augusta, who's literally the Pope, like the Pope during the last council. It's not the living one now, it's one of the dead ones, said he is the most important theology. He's the one who mixed pagan logic into Christianity, mixed it around, and he came up with, he's called, known as the Doctor of Grace and all that. And he wrote, you know, The City of God, and I think it's, I forget the other name of his book, but let me tell you, for them, it's like, it's the greatest book during the Dark Ages. You know what's interesting is, when he was alive and he changed Catholic doctrine, you know what God allowed? Was the fall of Rome. What started the Dark Ages? God was like, you guys have gone off the deep end, destroyed my word. You're bringing paganism in? And let me say, what was his ideas? Because you know what? Augustine didn't even have the words of God. He had a couple epistles, and I think he had like the books of Psalms. That was all he had. He developed his entire theology. And then when people were like, hey, how about you read the rest of the book? Because priests at the time were like, hey man, you're contradicting the words of God. Which was used to be an argument in the Catholic Church 1,000 years ago. And he said, the contradictions are how you know it's of God. Because he went up to a land, not heaven. He went to a pure area of logic. Because they worshiped Greek logic. He was trained in the pagan rhetoric. And I don't have time to even go through all that. But guess what? The Orthodox are like, dude, you've left the planet. You've gone away. And he's one of the greatest reasons why they split and they can't merge. Their theology is broken. It's different. And guess what? Here's the thing is, you're like, well, how do you know the Catholics aren't right? Well, they don't follow the words of God. They don't have the light of the word of God. But here's another thing. What was the time of the world when the Catholics had full power? Oh, that's right, the Dark Ages. You took what was the most sophisticated society that existed in the world and then destroyed it to where people had running plumbing, they had hygiene, they had taught doctor, they taught philosophy, they taught science, and you made them so retarded that literally pagan goat farmers in Germany could just walk over and conquer you. Yeah, God really blessed you. And then you know what's interesting is, what ended the Catholic era supremacy? People translated the Bible, because here's a lie of this denomination. This is one of the stupidest lies you can ever hear. Catholics gave you this Bible. Dude, the Jews kept it. And I've already said they were false. God even says, but I believe they kept the words. Then the Orthodox Greeks kept it right in Greek. And you know what happened in the 1,000 years you had the Bible? You did a bad translation. Even the Catholic Church recognized the Vulgate was a horrible translation and destroyed the Word of God. That's why you don't use it anymore. But no, we didn't get it from you. We got it from the Orthodox. So any Catholic who tells you, well, you got that from us. No, dude, no one got the words of God from you. And that's why you're a false religion. That's why you have your theology is horrible. That's why literally God has been, you have been a punishment on the world since your foundation, since you took power. It's been a shame unto you. Because you choose the traditions of men over God's word. Now, here's the thing is, are Catholics one denomination? Of course not. Can you imagine taking, you know, the Diaz Montes, you know, the Day of the Dead from Mexico, a Catholic religion, bringing that into like Hungary or Austria? They, like a couple hundred years ago, they would have killed anyone who did that. Because what they would have said, what pagan, what ideology, what evil is it that you are literally worshiping your ancestors? We're not, we're venerating them. You are literally bowing down, feeding them, and then worshiping their dead spirits to incarnate their bodies for one day a year. That is literally necromancy. And guess what? I know you haven't read the book. That is worthy of death in the Bible.
Yeah, amen.
So it doesn't matter. But here's the thing is, not only that, they have so many breakoffs, so many different churches. They have independent churches. The big one everyone in this town, Spokane, looks up to is that monastery on the hill. They're independent. They don't hold to the Pope. They believe 100 years ago Catholics were perfect and they broke away. So they're not even Catholic. Because to be Catholic, you literally have to accept the Pope as the authority of God, the vicar of Christ, which literally means in place of Christ, which means you're not worshiping the words of God, which isn't strange when you look at your theology. And once again, we've done it many times. I'll probably do it many more times. The Catholics are messed up. So guess what? You had the Orthodox, you had the Catholics, you also had the Arminians, you also had the Arians, you had the Gnostics, you had all these. But you know what? Why they weren't there? Because there was a plus one denomination that actually held the words of God. And let me tell you, most of the breakouts, most of the fights, most of the civil war, most of the religious things, you know what has happened? Was somebody actually read the words of God and went, oh, uh-oh, we're gone. It's only really modern times when they literally just flat out say, you know, the Orthodox are like, it's written by man. Then why did you keep it perfectly? It's your church doctrine that you have kept the words exactly as they are. Why is that in your statement, but yet you don't read it? You can ask the Jews the same question. Why for over 1,000 years you kept the words of God in perfect condition? You literally punished those that messed up Torahs. If a scribe couldn't do it, they got fired and removed. They had to keep every jot and every tittle. But yet, now it's like, well, that's the word of God, but who reads it? God says, consume it, eat it. This is how you get his light. This is how it gives you the power. It literally tells you to read it yourself. Amen. So there always had to be another denomination. And I was going to go through just for the sake of time, but all the they call them proto-Protestants, so many break-offs over 1,000 years trying to get away from the Catholic Church. But because they are possessed by the devil, they are a vicar of hell. I mean, the torture, the punishment, and the death they caused to people trying to bring the word of God forward is disgusting. And you know what God did? He made you basically the Muslims, you know, weaker side. Because guess what? The Ottomans were powerful than the Catholic Church like the entire time. Just trashed you. Destroyed the Orthodox. Destroyed all that. Literally, Europe was a backwater that no one cared about. Then something happened. You know what? A guy figured out how to put ink on paper a little bit quicker. That's good. You know, Gutenberg made something. And you know what? Even atheist movies say, you know, one of the most important things he did was the Gutenberg Bible. It was a German Bible translated not in Latin, but into German, because he says, if I'm going to mass produce it, let's have people read it. Wasn't banned by the Catholics then, because sounds great. They're like, why shouldn't people read the Bible? Because they've never read the Bible, and they go, oh, because nothing we do matches the Bible. Now, I would love to spend time, I'll probably do a sermon on this, but many denominations came out of this, but what was the key point? People read and went, nothing we do matches the Bible. And the Catholics went on a bloodlust. The millions and millions of people they slaughtered to try to keep the words of God suppressed. Now, the Orthodox, like, we made people so retarded, we didn't have that much problem keeping them retarded. Because here's the crazy thing. And if you want to try to justify what is the hand of God moving in the world, well, tell me this. Catholics have 1,000 years to show the power of God. And you're going to be struck to find it. The most disgusting, gross, like everyone who says, ugh, Africa is gross. Like, look at how they live. Catholics lived worse for 1,000 years. Absolutely disgusting. Completely low education. Didn't do anything. What happened? They figured out how to print the word of God, and they just told people, read it in your language. Literally within 40 years, the scientific revolution happened. Literally the backwater of Europe conquers the world in a couple hundred years. They don't have the max population. They didn't have the wealth. They didn't have the technology. You know what they had? The word of God, and organized them. Now, am I saying the Lutherans, the Calvinists, the Arminians, the Anglicans? Man, this was the truth. But I'll tell you this, they were closer. Hey, you want me to give you something to the Catholics? Hey, when the Catholics took over the literal demon-possessed Aztecs, it was an improvement for those people to be that closer to Christ. But let me tell you this. You cannot tell me that the Protestants, because let me tell you this, at the turn of 200 years ago, they said, if you want wealth and success in your nation, you have to be a Protestant. Literally, like atheists said, you literally need to have the Protestant work ethic. Because all of a sudden, you have tiny little countries, and look at Europe, it's not that big. conquering the entire world. The Catholics had 1,000 years. I would even say they were more unified culturally, politically. Backwaters, irrelevant, disgusting people. Absolutely no science, no thought coming through. They have to go through 1,200 years, and they're like, well, look at Thomas Aquinas. His writing's not completely retarded. Within 40 years of the Bible being made, we literally are figuring out how the world works, allowing science, allowing development, allowing medicine, allowing finances, allowing development. Like, the world literally revolutionary. Martin Luther had some weird ideas, but he had one thing right. Sola Scriptura, he's like, the Bible. Now, he didn't go all the way, because he was a Catholic priest, and he experienced a Catholic priest, so he couldn't get rid of all of it. You know, the Anglicans really wanted to stay as Catholic as possible, but make the Church of England. The Calvinists, which took over a lot of, you know, Holland and France in a lot of ways, they like, where does Reform comes? Because let me tell you, this is a whole different denomination. You're like, why do they believe the dumb things they do? Because they got rid of a lot of the Catholic Church, but they didn't get rid of the Catholic writings. Like, you don't get the tulip from the Bible.
Amen.
You get it from multiple Catholic saints, and when they mix it, it doesn't make sense. But Calvin sat there and he glued this part over here and this, and then he goes, we're going to be the true Catholics. It's like, guess what? You know what Luther wanted? You know what Calvin wanted? He wanted to be pure Catholic. When he reformed, he didn't realize, no. You know, you don't get good fruit from briars and thistles. A bad tree doesn't bring forth good fruit. You just cut that down and go back. Go back to what Paul said. Go find that plus one denomination on the foundations of God. Now, here's the thing is, you had tons of denominations break off of this. I mean, you had the Presbyterians, you had the Orthodox Presbyterians, you had Reformed, you have Lutherans, you got Evangelical Lutheran, you got Anglicans, Methodist, you got all these break-offs. But I'm not saying, well, how do you know which one's right? Well, this is the way God told you to do it. Which one follows the Bible? And which one follows man? And here's the thing. Well, you know, if that's the way, maybe you should become a Puritan. Puritans took this idea and they went a little too far. Because what they said was, if the church did it, it is of Satan. Now, I can almost feel the natural inclination that that sounds about right when you look at wicked they are. But here's the thing is, you need to go back to the words, like, erase history, erase tradition, erase what you know, erase your philosophy, erase your theology, your, you know, epistemology and your Christophanies and all the things you think you have. You go back to the Bible and you just see, what does the Bible allow? Because here's the thing is, they're like, look, the Bible doesn't say wedding rings. Wedding rings are the symbol of the Antichrist. No, that's not the way we do it. All right? Just because the church allowed wedding rings doesn't mean that's sinful. And that's what I'm trying to say is, so you have tons. You have the Mennonites, the Amish, you got, you know, the German, anyway, you got all these, lots of denominations. But I'm going to tell you, no matter how many there are, they can keep growing. But let me tell you this, there's always going to be a plus one more. And that's what you need to go for. And let me tell you this, you're like, well, I mean, look at you. You're like a little breakup. Yeah, we are a fundamental, independent, King James only, Baptist church plant. You're like, wow, I mean, is that the only people that are saved? That's not what I've said. And let me tell you, I think, as some people go here, I mean, I'm almost ecumenical, because I'm like, I've actually talked to, like, Lutherans are so broken in this area, I don't know what's going on. Some of them are damnable, you know, gay flag-waving people. They're damned to hell. And then others, they're like, well, yeah, it's faith alone, it's grace alone. No, baptism is important. You're like, that's not what Luther wrote. Yeah, but it's a Lutheran church. You're like, hey, say brother, great. Because I don't really care what you call yourself. So guess what? Somewhere in the Lutheran church, there's at least a plus one there that got the gospel right. I don't care about your synod theological seminary and program of excellence, but thank goodness you got the gospel right. And frankly, that plus one matters. So here's the thing is,
I don't think in the times of ancient Israel you'll find that the saved people of God were just always unanimous. They're the most popular. They were that. Actually, no, they're the ones in the cave. They're the ones being punished by the state. I believe it was Jesus said, from Abel unto Zacharias, all the blood of the prophet is upon you. So amazingly, that plus one believers on the foundations of God were always punished by those in power. So you're like, well, there's so many denominations. Like, how do you know? Well, let me tell you this. Do you have to have a commentary on top of the Word of God to understand your theology? Because if you do, I'm going to say you ain't the plus one I'm talking about. Your commentaries have probably made 5-6 different denominations since the time they were put in there. Well, how about this? Well, we need to have another book to understand all of God. You do? Now, here's the thing is, maybe through your entire study, and let me tell you, one of the most blessed things I was ever told when I got saved was this. Like, brother, don't read any other books until you've read the Bible 10 times. And I'm not telling you, if you've read it 10 times, maybe 10 more times before you start adding other things. But what I will say this is, could there be a Bible that inspires you through a hard time? Could there be another thing? Great. But let me tell you, that is not on par with the Word of God. You know what? Your mother gives you a devotional or something. You know, she's not wicked. I hope not, but I'm just saying. If you have another Christian book out there, that's fine. Hey, if you want to even learn what Christophanies and the hypostatic union and the, you know, all the other analogy and all these other useless terms that are Latin for some reason, everyone who studies that, as far as I know, hates the Catholics, but they use their terminology. But if you want to learn that, great. But don't think because you learned in that book, it is guaranteed in the Bible. Go out and learn a trade. Go learn how to farm. Go learn how to repair a house. These are equally good things. But don't think because you can understand the safety manual of OSHA, well, I got to mix the Bible with that. They're equal. Because that's as foolish as some of these people do. The wisdom of man is not up to God.
That's right.
So guess what? There's always going to be. Here's another one. Did you have to add another book? You know, do you need the Pearl of Great Christ or the Book of Mormon? Yeah. You missed it. You need to go find that other denomination that doesn't need that because that's not the foundations of Christ. We're the Church of Jesus Christ. Mic drop. Enjoy hell that you don't believe in. Because guess what? There's so odd, like, it's incredible sometimes, like, when you hear arguments where you're like, every denomination has their argument for what they are. And you're like, dude, have you ever, like, said that out loud in front of people? Like, you know, when you go door to door and you knock, you're like, I think it was Ryan. Like, we met this guy. He's like, I'm part of this, you know, the West Presbyterian Church of Minnesota. And he was like expecting me to be like, oh my goodness. I was like, is that a thing? He's like, you haven't heard of us? Dude, if your title is from Minnesota, like, what? I don't even know what's from Minnesota. Like, that's not even like a great state, and there's, you know, there's 50 of them. Like, but he literally thought, because I guess 20, 30 years ago, man, it was a TV program. And though he has not gone to church in 30 years, and he watches reruns of this church, and dude, I won't even get into it. That denomination not only died, but the people that were in that denomination, as soon as the pastor died, they reverted back to a normal Methodist. And I don't have a high standard Methodist, but it was way close. It was closer to the Word of God than where this dude went. But it's weird. All those that go soul winning know, yeah, there are 10,000. Like, I don't care if you, like, I'm Catholic. Oh, do you believe you need to go to church? No, I think you'd be saved outside of it. You're like, that's not Catholic. You're like, is communion necessary for salvation? No, it's just a nice tradition. You're like, oh, that's not Catholic either. Do you believe the Word of God is without dispute and perfect? Well, of course. You're like, oh, good. But that's not Catholic doctrine either. And I love that Catholics are very ignorant, and the Catholic Church does not educate people in their beliefs. Because I think, just like more, like, Catholics do it in a different way. They make it a process for you to get, and then you got to go to school. You got to invest your entire life before they even attempt to try to explain what the current theology, which is always changing, by the way. They haven't figured it out in 1,500 years.
But the current theology, and that's why you have all these independent churches, like the Catholic Church over there, is like 200 years ago is perfect. We're not going to change. Sure, you won't. But I mean, you got the Methodists, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Assembly of God. You got the Charismaniacs. Like, you got Quakers. I mean, you got all these denominations. People are like, well, that just shows that nobody understands Christianity. No, what it shows is that the vanity of men is powerful. It shows that people like to manipulate the word of God for filthy lucre's sake. You know what it shows? It shows that a fool, despite wise men can give them seven different sayings, they won't change their mind. Because here's the thing is, I will tell you this. If you could humble yourself and be like, I believe the Bible is the word of God. And if the Bible says it, I will believe it. I would be amazed if we find someone that somehow still could not be saved. But here's the thing is, most people who say that do not believe it. Because let me tell you, group of denominations. We'll just say Reform, Calvinist, you know, like all the, like these people, man, they would say, they're like Mormons. They will give you the correct answer on the outside, and as soon as you ask them what they mean by that, it's off to cuckoo land. And they're like, and the Reforms are all smug. Because there's, like, this is something I'm so glad. Here's a test also. Am I in the right denomination? Is there a thing called the high church and low church? Because you're probably in an idiot church. Because God says, you know, the simple received his words willfully. Which means, if you are so complicated and you did know God has to be so refined, so sophisticated, so high, you're like, we have low church believers, which, I mean, they come, they're a blessing to be here. Thank goodness they can take the trash out. But then we have the high church, you know, the real wisdom, the people that study, and they can understand the will of God, the manifestation of God, and all, you know, like, wow, that sounds very Pharisaical. And actually, it says you need to be more higher and spiritual than the Pharisees to get to heaven. And it don't sound like you're there. So guess what? You better go find that plus one other denomination out there somewhere that still has the foundations of God for you to travel. Because let me tell you, you did not get there. So what is the point? What the point of this message is this. And here's the thing is, I'm sure at some point you've wondered, man, there's just so many people call themselves Christians. Now, what's beautiful is most people will categorize, and it's funny where they'll draw the circle. Like us, we'll be like, because, you know, you're like, well, are all Baptists saved? No, I do not think all Baptist churches are saved. Let me tell you, how do you know you're in a Baptist church? The people we preach the most against are Baptists. But here's the thing. You know what we're looking for? Because the Baptist has a weird thing. They don't really know the history we came through. We can tell it like the first person who came over to America called a Baptist, but they have a tradition going back. And I want to teach you this. Because guess what? Some of those churches may be good, some of them may be bad. But you know what the Baptist held? We see what denominations do, and we're not going to have one. The Baptists are independent churches ran. And guess what? There's a lot of differences between our churches. But let me tell you this. Have you found a good one? Is he saved? Does he hold the word of God? Hey, and guess what? In the English language, we may have higher standards. Do they use at least the same Bible? You know, if the church at least has a standard Bible, I wish it should be the King James in the English language. But if he's one, like, use whatever. Is he honoring the word of God?
No.
And this is not our doctrine. Let me tell you, the doctrine of the church is it's the King James. Yeah. I am not justifying other versions, but what I'm saying is, if you can't, like, if he does not care about the words of God in such a way he doesn't standardize the one in his church, I guarantee you he is not honoring the word of God. Because it is not honoring to be like, whatever you want. Like, even if he's a fool, be like, well, you got to learn Greek. At least he's saying there's one standard. But I'll tell you this. I encourage anyone, whoever doubts, like, I don't know if I'm in the right church. I don't know if I believe the right thing. I don't know, am I doing the right thing? Am I following this? Am I on my way to heaven? I'll tell you the answer to all of that. It's the word of God,
right,
which is Jesus. Like, I always find it interesting. You know, people are like, it's the stupidest thing. I've never found a person in reality that says this, but people are like, this is your idol.
You know, idols are something you set up on a shelf, you keep clean, you keep pristine. I track this thing to the rain, mud, and whatnot to spread the seed of the word. Some of the words I spread out in the word, you know what? They fall on rocky soil. Some of it is eaten up by birds. But you know what? Every now and then, I truly believe the words of God fall on good soil. And that's what I'm using. I'm using an instrument. Because guess what? I've dropped this, and I don't apologize to God. I don't go and burn it immediately.
Right.
You know what? I've been out in rainstorms. I've been in snowstorms. I've been in windstorms. It's been late. It's been dark. It's been early. I have broken. I have dropped. I have lost. And I have given this away. Why? Because it's not my idol, but I do believe it's God.
That's right.
Well, the physical book? No, the words of God.
Amen.
It's not something I worship through this tool.
Good.
Let me tell you, I work through it.
Amen.
That is not an idol, but it is the word of God. And let me tell you this. I could not, even at this point, go through all the times God honors his word, his law, his manifestation. And what he says, keep it. How did Jesus defeat the battle? As it is written. He expects you to know that.
Yep.
How can you serve God if you don't know what he writ to you? Well, I know what the saints told me. I know what my pastor thinks. I know what, you know, Spurgeon wrote a couple hundred years ago. I believe what Calvin had a good idea here. I believe what I learned at Bible college. I know what, you know, the TV preacher says. I had a comic book dropped in a bathroom stall once. I read it once, so I think I got the Christianity thing down. Hey, how about you actually just pick up a Bible? It is free. People died to give this to you. It is printed. It can be given to you, and you can live your life off of it. Let me tell you this. If you think our country's falling, it is, because we're falling to moral degradation. All of Europe is being destroyed once again, just like when the Catholics took it over, because the word of God is falling away. You know what? I actually believe if you wanted to see a miracle in this society, in this state, in this city, or in this world, you get people bound together. We're going to follow the words of God. And even if you do it imperfectly, you base the entire, your life, your family's life, the neighborhood, the city off of this. You put the nation on this. You guide the military in war based off of this book. I would bet you'd see a small little minority take over this world again.
Oh, yeah.
You know why? Because that's the word of God.
Yeah.
And that is what the Lord promised. Whether or not it ever comes to it again, the Lord used it to get around the whole world. The whole world does have the Bible. We have the internet. It's spread throughout. Guess what? There is a King James Bible on the moon. Eat that, atheist. And it was smuggled there because the greatest scientists, the greatest engineers, the greatest athletes, you know what they are? They're Christian Bible believers. And guess what? And the model of science to show, I didn't see any God up there. I'm going to go off on that. Because that is a favorite quote I've heard multiple times brought in school, and it's complete fabricatory. You know what Yuri, whatever the first man in space did that morning? Because he was in Russia. He went to his priest and confessed his sins, because the priest was in the basement, because they would have killed him. Even he, and I don't believe in the Orthodox Church, but let me tell you this. You know what the first man in space did? He went and asked a Christian denomination, Lord, this is for you. If this is of you, keep me alive. You know what the Apollo missions did, which they're so angry? They read Genesis 1:1 to a live world audience.
Amen.
Do you know what Apollo, I believe it was 6 or 7, they smuggled a Bible to honor his son. He placed it on the moon. So we blow up this world. We destroy everything. We can't even get, you know, we go back into the dark ages. You know what we'll find if we ever raise technology again? The Lord doesn't come in that time and get to the moon. You know what we'll find? We'll find a King James Bible there so we can once again have the words of God. I've kind of gone off on the trail here, but let me just tell you this. Go find that plus one other denomination. I don't care if you find these big denominations. I don't care if you see that there's breakoffs in this. Yeah, I know you're so confused on who has the right theology and all this. We can argue and debate about that. And guess what? Saved people will even argue and debate and break away and make new denominations, even from saved people. But let me tell you this, how you can find that plus one more denomination that you should follow. They hold the word of God as the foundation of there, because that is Jesus. We served Christ. And this is what he told us to follow, learn, and obey for the rest of the time we have in our life, because it's the word of God. And that is the denomination I will follow. With that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much today. Thank you for this time to sing this, or to pray your word, to honor your word, to show that you are the words of God. And Lord, let me spend the rest of my life serving and learning from you, Lord. If I can find anything helpful from man, that's great. But let me never hold it equal or greater or something I should pass down to my children as equal to the words of God. Because, Lord, that's where most of these denominations come, is they break away the foolishness of heart, lust of money. They break away to hold men equal or greater than God. And for what a shame that is. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you'll go ahead and turn to me to that one denomination's theme song. The most important theology. And most people don't have this theology right, but I want to sing it. 4, 6, 7. Most denominations could fix themselves, get right with God, get saved, if they would just sing and believe this one song. All right, let me get there myself because I'm having troubles. All right, 4, 6, 7, the B-I-B-I-B. All right, I'm not, this is part of my, this is the capstone of my sermon right here, because this, literally, this kid song we sing to our infants and get three-year-olds to sing, they're already going to be better off than most people with college degrees in theology. So with that, 4, 6, 7. The B-I-B-I-B, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-I-B, Bible! All right, thank you, guys.